I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Jake Volmick with you guys here on Overtime. And with plenty of news surrounding the Browns. And have you heard about this? Shedeur Sanders, citation, speeding ticket, plenty happening. Well, to get more of a national feel for it, what's happening in the eyes of the national media on the Cleveland Browns, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Covering the NFL for SI Now, it's Matt Verderam. Matt, what's going on?
What's happening? How are you?
We're doing pretty good, but I don't know. Have we heard the national media taking the story? The speeding ticket heard around the world. Shedeur Sanders going 101 in a 60 and cited here just outside of Cleveland. Is this something Browns fans should be concerned about, or maybe a little bit of the media running with something in June?
I mean, look, is it dumb? Yeah. I also was 22 one time. And I don't remember going 101 to 60, but I remember sitting in a buddy's car going on the highway. He was doing well more than 101. So, I mean, is it dumb? Yeah. But is it indicative of his character? No, I don't think. Now, if he was drunk, it's a different conversation. If he hurt somebody, it's a different conversation. But in the end, it's hopefully a learning moment. But I don't look at it and say, oh, then that's who he – I mean, listen, come on. We're all 22 years old. If that's the worst thing Shedeur Sanders ever does, he's a pretty good individual. So hopefully he learns from it, doesn't do it again. But I'm not going to sit here and make some sweeping judgment off of a speeding ticket. A dumb one, but a speeding ticket.
So, Matt, you obviously bring up the quarterback reps. I know it's something that we've talked about before when you've joined me previously as well. One of the things being talked about right now is that the Browns potentially could be going into the season and still deciding to roster all four quarterbacks up and actually going into week one. I guess I'll throw to you, like, hey, could you see it happening? And if they did, is that a disaster?
It's not a disaster. It'd be uncommon. You know, the Patriots did it in 2000 when they kept Brady. Because they didn't want to cut him. And they decided, like, we're not going to cut him, and they kept him as fourth quarterback. Now, I'm not saying anybody is Tom Brady on the Browns, but look, I think if you're the Browns, you should have a pretty good idea here. Like, first of all, if Kenny Pickett's not going to start, then they should trade him. They should try to trade him, get a late-round pick for him, whatever, if they can do it. You know, I mean, I think that's probably a smart decision. You know, the same thing is true of, like, with the rookies – you know, Gabriel and Shedeur, I feel like you're kind of in a spot where, I mean, both those guys have to make the team, right? I mean, they're probably not going to get through to the practice squad. And so you're kind of in a spot where you got to roster both those guys. So it's either going to be Flacco or Pick. I would imagine Flacco's going to win that battle. I think if you're the Browns, you get to September 1st. Like, if Kenny Pickett doesn't somehow win this job, I don't know what his role really is. He's not the veteran on the team, and he's not the guy with a high upside future. So, like, who are you going to really, you know, so where are you going to slot him in on the depth chart that you feel like he's adding something?
Matt Verderam of SI with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I guess as we're talking about quarterbacks, yeah, you throw out the idea of trading Kenny Pickett. I guess as we look at the other quarterbacks on the roster, if we look at the rookies, is there any chance the Browns would be moving one of them before the season starts?
I don't think so. I don't. I mean, unless something happens where one of them is just, for whatever the reason, so bad that the Browns look at the guy after a month in Bray and say, all right, we're done. Like that, you know, we're just going to cut our losses and trade him for a seventh-round conditional pick or something. But I'll be honest with you, if they cut Dylan Gabriel, it's kind of a disaster. Like, that's a train wreck. If you're taking a pick that was, you know, a fairly early pick. I mean, it wasn't a first-round pick, but he's a pretty, you know, important pick, if you want to call it that. You know, not a premium, maybe a semi-premium pick. I think to cut him would be somewhat of a mess. I cannot imagine them cutting Shedeur Sanders. I mean, again, unless it is just a train wreck from Jump Street and they just say, okay, we're moving on. But again, if that happens, then you have to get up there as an organization and say, look, we completely screwed up. And nobody wants to do that. So I think it would have to be a colossal disaster for the Browns to cut one of those guys.
I thought it was interesting. Kurt Benkert, a former NFL quarterback, threw out there that the Dolphins were interested potentially in drafting Dylan Gabriel around the same spot that the Browns were. Now, I don't know necessarily what the perception was nationally, but locally, like, people kind of lost their mind that Dylan Gabriel was a third round pick because people talked about him being a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. Are we closer to the Browns having a read on the room and knowing the value that another team might have been targeting Gabriel, or that they just simply reached on a quarterback that they really liked?
You know what? I think the draft is just so volatile. I know that, you know, that's not exactly a breaking news bar take, but I'm sure the Dolphins probably did. You know, I don't have any reason to say that that's not true. You know, every team evaluates guys differently. I can tell you right now, I talked to a personnel evaluator in the league, a week ago, who thought Jackson Dart was worth a fifth-round pick.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, you know, and that guy's been respected and been in the league for two and a half decades. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes... You know, some people look at guys differently. I guarantee I could find somebody who thought Jackson Dart should be in the top 10. And that's what makes the draft so intriguing. And that, by the way, that is not that uncommon. I have absolutely had stories where people, you know, taking players in the first round. And I've talked to people from other teams who have been like, yeah, that guy wasn't even on the top 100 for us. It happens. So, like, I'm not surprised that somebody had a third or, you know, round grade as well on Gabriel. And I could find two or three teams that thought he was a UDFA. That's just... That is the Nate. There are very few guys. I would bet in this draft class, the only two players you could get a consensus on were Travis Hunter being one, and then I think probably Abdul Carter. I think those two guys are the only two players you'd get a consensus that those guys were top three picks. Everybody else, I bet you get a pretty wide range.
Matt Verder, I'm with us on the hotline. Switching more to a Brown-centric just overall. If we look nationally, how much optimism is there that under Kevin Stefanski going back to his traditional offense, bringing in two rookie quarterbacks, that the Browns' run game is going to turn it around and help at least anchor this offense to be better than they were last year?
Oh, I think, you know, look, you bring in some young legs, right? I think that helps. I think there's a thought that, look, Nick Chubb, God bless him for coming back after that brutal knee injury, but he couldn't run. Now, let's just be honest. He did not look anywhere near the player that he once was. I think there is a thought that, look, the biggest question with Cleveland is going to be this offensive line. Can the offensive line be a lot better? It's a better run blocking line than pass blocking line. But last year, it wasn't good at blocking anything. And I know, you know, if they were hurt, there were injuries. There's a lot that goes into it. But that, to me, is the biggest thing. I like the fact the Browns remade the room. They draft a couple of backs. And by the way, I like both of them. I think both of them are really nice players. I think they could be a very dynamic tandem. Can you block? And more to the point, can you get teams to have eight, you know, can you get them to take out eight in the box? Because that's going to be the problem here. Can the Browns get anybody to back off in the line of scrimmage? If they can't, you're always going to be running into these stacked fronts, and that makes it obviously a lot more difficult. So, look, I think the talent is good in the room, even if it is unproven. The question becomes, can you get teams to back off? And can the line handle some of the, you know, the different things that last year it couldn't?
Matt, if they're able to, what's the ceiling for the Browns in their offense?
You know, I think because of the quarterback situation, I think it's around like the, you know, 20th in the league. If Flacco starts and plays reasonably well, the problem is just when you have that quarterback room, you're limited. You don't have Mahomes, you don't have Allen, you don't have Burrow, you don't have Lamar, where you just know going into these games. Look at this. I mean, Mahomes is winning Super Bowls with guys that no one will remember in 10 years as receivers. I mean, it just, that position is so unbelievably crucial. Of course, everybody in Cleveland is well aware of that. But I will say, look, you got Judy. I truly like the backs. I think the backs are going to be good. And Njoku's a good tight end. Can you find a number two receiver out of this group? You know, can it be a guy like a Cedric Tillman? Can they get us a guy who you go, all right, you know what? This guy is good for 600, 700 yards. Can you, you know, as long as Judy has another, you know, 1,000-yard type season. If that happens and the line is just passable, then it's a reasonable offense. The problem is that the line's not passable and they don't find a second guy and the quarterback plays eh, then you're looking at a bottom quarter of the league offense and the defense is going to have to carry the ball every week.
So looking away from the Browns, and Matt Verderam with us here on the hotline. Ravens adding former Packers corner Jair Alexander today. If he's able to stay healthy, how dangerous does the Ravens secondary become with that addition?
It's really good. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The problem is he's never healthy. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this today. Like, Jair Alexander is awesome, but there's also a reason the Packers cut him. There's a reason. He's never on the field. And that's a concern. Now, listen, if he's healthy, I mean, you're talking about a defense here that's got him and you got Kyle Hamilton back there. And you really like, at least I do, Nate Wiggins and TJ Tampa, who's the guy. I think they're going to roll into the defense a little bit more. And, you know, Ardarius Washington, he's a big loss. You know, I think, you know, people don't know that name. They should. He's a guy who played safety for them last year, kind of went from corner to safety middle of the year, played a lot more as the year went on. They were like a full 7 points per game better when he started to play a lot more. And he tore his Achilles during workouts. So, you know, but they do have Malachi Starks. They drafted in the first round. You know, listen, Alexander, that's going to be a big thing for Baltimore. He's not healthy. That corner room, all of a sudden, you're looking at and going, all right, look, you got Marlon Humphrey, and he's, you know, a little older, but he's still a good player. But then you're looking at a lot of youth at corner. You're all of a sudden looking at, like I said, you're looking at Tampa, and you're looking at Nate Wiggins, and they're good, but they're really young. If Alexander stays healthy, that allows you to kind of grow into that you know, those couple of those second-year guys, allows them to mature at a better pace, maybe that helps them not to be exposed. But listen, Baltimore, let's face it, they're going to be a playoff team barring disaster. The question with Baltimore is always the same question. Once they get to January, what does it look like? And if I'm the Ravens, I don't care if Jair Alexander plays six games in the regular season. He needs to be healthy for January.
Looking at somewhere else in the AFC North right now, can you just answer the simple question of what the hell is happening with Cincinnati? Like, is Shamar Stewart and or Trey Hendrickson going to actually be on the Bengals roster come week one?
Yeah, look, Cincinnati, I guess good time for the question. I have a column coming out tomorrow about the entire offseason, and I wrote quite a bit about Baltimore, quite a bit about Cincinnati. Like, look, Cincinnati is going to be an unbelievable experiment this year. How many games can you win with three great players and nobody else? We're going to find out. Because that team, you couldn't find two better receivers to go with a great quarterback. Like, easily the best 1-2 punch with a great quarterback in the league. Maybe alongside, you know, Philadelphia, you want to throw them in, they're fine. But man, Cincinnati, if you look at that defensive depth chart, it has to be one of the most unproven, underwhelming depth charts for a decent team I've ever seen.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.